Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So before we start, we have to recognize that today is a special day. It's a half-day fast. Everybody that's thinking we're going to have breakfast afterwards is mistaken. It's a half-day fast today. Three special things. Gunditja Marjana is celebrated today, although we don't clean the temple here on this day. But in Jagannath Puri, that's the time that Lord Chaitanya had that pastime of cleaning the Gunditja temple. So it's a good time to meditate on cleansing our heart. That's the whole purpose behind the whole Gunditja pastime, is that we meditate on how we can throw out all the unwanted things within our heart, all those negative things which are lingering. The other part of today is that it's the disappearance day of Gadadhar Pandit, who was one of the Panchatattva, manifestation of the Supreme Lord. And the other one is the disappearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is one of the early fathers of the Krishna consciousness movement. He was actually the one that re-established Krishna consciousness both in India and also in the Western world. And his books were sent all over the world, even to the Canberra Library back in the turn of the century. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. So we're reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, chapter 22, text 12. Prakriti guna samyam vai. Prakrite natmano guna. Sattvarajas tama iti. Sityutpatyanta hetava. Prakriti guna samyam vai. Prakriti natmano guna. Sattvam rajas tama iti. Sutyutpatyanta hetava. Prakriti, material nature, guna, of the three modes, samyam, the original equilibrium, vai, indeed, prakriti, of nature, na atmanaha, not of the spirit soul, guna, these modes, sattvam, goodness, raja, passion, tama, ignorance, iti, thus called, sthiti, of the maintenance of the universal creation, utpati, its production, anta, and its annihilation, hetava, the causes. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Nature exists originally as the equilibrium of the three material modes, which pertain only to nature, not to transcendental spirit soul. These modes, modes of goodness, passion and ignorance, are the effective cause of the creation, maintenance and destruction of this universe. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 3.27 it is stated, Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahamkara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. The three modes of nature in their original state of equilibrium as well as the subsequent creation generated from the modes are vastly more powerful than the tiny living entity who is controlled by them. The living entity thus cannot be accepted as the actual doer or creator within this material world. The mode of goodness is symptomized by the experience of knowledge, the mode of passion by the experience of work, and the mode of ignorance by the experience of darkness. These modes of material knowledge, work, and darkness have no real relation with the transcendental spirit soul, who exhibits his own qualities of eternality, bliss, and knowledge, the Sandhini, Samvit, and Ladhini potencies of the Supreme Lord. The material modes have no access within the kingdom of God, in the unborn atmosphere of which the eternal living entity is meant to live. Omagana timiranda syaganandana salakaya chakshura militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Nama om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuttale Shrimate Hridayananda Goswami Niti Namine. Nama om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhuttale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharine Nevisesa Shunyavari Pashachade Sitarine. Shri Krishna Jaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivastari Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are more powerful, as it's purported out in this purport, than the tiny living entity, the poor, tiny little living entity. This is also in Bhagavad Gita 7.14, Devyesha Gunamayi. These modes of material nature are very difficult to overcome. So for 99.9% of the population out there, they're being dictated to by the three modes of material nature. They're either in goodness, they're either in passion, or they're either in ignorance. And they're controlled by these modes. And we can see it in life, how the modes can affect us and how difficult it is to overcome. When you're sitting on this side of the fence during a Bhagavatam class, you can see the mode of ignorance sometimes really manifesting itself, you know, where a devotee is really striving to pay attention, but the modes is going, dropping off to sleep. Mode of ignorance controls us. So, also the mode of ignorance, we can also see that how we're still affected, especially on these really nice chilly mornings, and we're rugged up in our nice little cuddly bed. And the mode of ignorance seeks in, just a little bit longer. Let me just stay here 5 minutes more. I'll still make it to Mangalarti if I just stay 5 minutes more. And then the 5 minutes are up. Maybe another 5 minutes and I'll have a quick shower. Isn't it? That's with all of us. So the mode of ignorance is always that mode of passion. If we hit the roads, how often do we see road rage? People are such a panic. You know, you see people tearing in front of you. I was just driving this morning, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, for heaven's sake, you know. And people are trying to beat the light, so they pass you quickly, and they scream up, and then all of a sudden it's another red light. And then you catch up slowly, yeah. And then another one, and again and again. So the mode of passion is there. And even in goodness, mode of goodness, we see that in the material world as well. Mode of goodness, how people are completely infatuated by being neat. You know those people? Have to be neat, compulsively neat. Everything has to be right, water, nice and clean. My sister is like that. You go to a house and there's not a speck of dust anywhere. If you have a cup of tea, you put your cup of tea down and there may be a little ring on the table. She comes out with sponges and cleans up and sorts everything out, you know. So this is the mode of goodness in a sense. That compulsion to be clean and neat and precise. It's a reasonably good thing, but you can see how people are actually completely covered by that. So this tiny soul, this tiny living entity, as it's mentioned here in the purport, this tiny living entity, the modes of ignorance, the modes of material nature are vastly more superior and more powerful than that tiny living entity. So Srila Prabhupada, in the purport to this verse that was quoted here, 327, Prakriti Kriyamanani, I just wanted to read that purport out that Prabhupada gives, because it's a really interesting purport. Prabhupada says, two persons, one in Krishna consciousness and the other in material consciousness, working on the same level may appear to be working on the same platform. But there is a wide gulf of difference in their respective positions. The person in material consciousness is convinced by the false ego that he is the doer of everything. How true is that? You know? He does not know that the mechanisms of the body is produced by the modes of material nature, which work under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. The materialistic person has no knowledge that ultimately he is under the control of Krishna. The person in false ego takes all credit for doing everything independently. Oh, I can do this. No, I can do this. How often we strike? Oh, no, I'm in complete control. So they can do everything independently. And that is a symptom of his nescience, his ignorance. He does not know that this gross and subtle body is the creation of material nature under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as such, his bodily and mental activities should be engaged in the service of Krishna. This is the sum and substance of the Bhagavad Gita. Everything we do, everything we conceive of, everything should be done as service to Krishna. The Supreme Personality, and such bodily and mental activities should be done in the service of Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. The ignorant man forgets that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Rishikesh, or the master of the senses of the material body. For due to his long misuse of his senses in sense gratification, he is factually bewildered by the false ego, which makes him forget his eternal relationship with Krishna. So for lifetimes, he's... Hari Bol Prabhu. That's 327. Prakriti Kriyamani. So for lifetimes, he's been thinking, I'm in control, I'm actually controlling everything that's happening to me. And in our early days in preaching, and I'm sure you guys come across that as well, in our early days in preaching at Crossways and Gopals, you get people that come in and they challenge you. I don't want this religious stuff. I'm in control. You know, there is no God actually. I'm completely in control. Everything, you know, I work it the way I want to do it. And we used to have these really fun times with these guys, you know, and you say, oh, so you're in control? Yes, there is no God. Everything is just working. I'm completely in control. And you used to say, okay, little exercise. Stop blinking. Don't blink at all. You're in control. So stop blinking. They can't do it. They try. Then you say, okay, well then, listen, just for, say, 5 minutes, let's stop breathing. No chance. Who's in control? And then you say, okay, now the big test, and this is one we all experience also in India, the big test, don't evacuate. Don't pass stool or urine. That's it. You've got to control it. Impossible. If you've been to India, you really know how the modes are controlling you there, you know. Got to go. So, this used to be really interesting, you know, that you can actually so easily make a person understand that they're out of control. They're not in control. Science now, I read this interesting article recently about science, how they say that the material body is absolutely riddled with parasites. Did you know that? You have a whole universe going on in your body where other living entities are having a party. Now, some of these parasites are actually beneficial to the body, and they actually help the body to function in a particular way. Others are detrimental to the functioning of your body. In fact, they can affect you to such an extent that they twist your mind, that you actually think that you're supposed to be thinking something, or I'm thinking this, but in actual fact, it's the parasites that are pushing different nerve buttons in your brain to actually make you perform the way you're performing. It's amazing. There's one parasite in particular, and don't freak out, don't start thinking, oh, that's all crawling in my brain. It's not like that. But there's one parasite which is really interesting, who they've recently found, and it's a parasite, I can't remember what the name of it is, but it resides in the stomach of a cat. It's a cat's parasite. It's a really awful sort of thing, but this cat, this little parasite lives in the stomach of the cat, and it's as happy as anything in the stomach of the cat, and they reproduce and they have fun in there, and it's in the cat's body. But the cat evacuates, and so some of these parasites, whoop, pop out. So there's a bit of stool, a cat stool, and the rat comes along, breakfast, sorry guys. And the rat goes, yum, 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 my favourite, cat stool. So he eats it, And the parasite goes into the rat's body. Okay? Now the parasite is sitting in the rat's body and he's saying, this isn't a cat's body. What the hell is going on here? I'm not happy here. I can't have sex here. I can only have sex in a cat's body. I have to get back to the cat's body. This is the intelligence of this little parasite. Can you imagine this? So what he's developed, this parasite, he's developed, okay, if I actually crawl up into the rat's brain, right? This parasite crawls up into the rat's brain. He sits at this particular part of the brain, no other part, and he starts agitating this part of the brain. This is a parasite, this is a living entity. He starts agitating this part of the brain. And the rat goes, now that part of the brain is a sexual stimulation part of the brain. What it does to the rat all of a sudden becomes incredibly attracted to cats. He actually finds cats really attractive. In a sexual way. He goes, whoa, look at that big cat. So he loses his fear of cats. This is a fact. He loses his fear of cats, comes out of his rat hole, sees a big juicy cat, I love you. And the cat goes, and I love you. And eats the rat. The rat is in the stomach of the cat, the parasite. I'm back home! Yay! I'm in a cat's body. So this has now been a study that's been going on. And believe it or not, but this little parasite is not only in a rat's body. This little parasite is also in a human body. This is the amazing thing. And guess what? He does the same thing. He crawls up into the brain and he starts pushing little nerve endings of a human being. Now, back in the 18th century, this is when cats became a domesticated animal. Before that, they really weren't a domesticated animal. They were actually, you know, just either feral or whatever. But in the 17th and 18th century, they thought, hey, it'd be really nice to have a cat around the house. So cats became a domestic animal. And consequently, somehow or other, it leaves its little doo-doos around the place, and somehow or other, it became contaminated with human people, and people, you know, didn't wash their hands or whatever, and the little parasite actually got into the human people. And what's happened is now they're doing research that a lot of different diseases that are currently, that weren't there back in the 18th century, and all of a sudden are manifesting in this period of time in human history, those illnesses could be attributed to the work of this little parasite. One of them is either a bipolar situation, could be caused by a parasite, and the other one is road rage. We were talking about that passion. Road rage. Why? Because what happens is, why does a person of any sound mind speed in a car? I mean, you'd have to be an idiot. You know, when you sometimes you're driving on the car and you see somebody flying past, you think, oh, you idiot. You know, it's another catastrophe waiting to happen. Another crash coming up. Another person dies on the road. Don't you see the newspapers? Don't you hear the news? I mean, if you speed, you're going to die and you're going to kill people with you. But they don't know. Just as the rat had no fear of the cat, he came out and said, I love you. Come on, let's have a good time. Similarly, the human that's affected by this parasite says, I don't fear anything. I can speed in my car. Nothing is going to happen to me. And he zooms off. So they're doing research with this. So people are not in control. They're absolutely not in control. The point that was mentioned here is, if we're not in control, what do we do about it? Do we just go on in our merry way and let them all, just all the different parasites and modes of ignorance just control us? No. We are not these bodies. We are not these bodies. And repeat it again. We are not these bodies. We are spirit souls. And this is what's pointed out in this purport here. When Prabhupada teaches, when he first came to America, when he first came to the Western world, Every single lecture, if you read Prabhupada's books, practically over and over and over again, he tells us, you are not this material body. You're a spirit soul. You're inhabiting this... You're inhabiting this material lump, but you are different from this lump. And that's the whole process of self-realization. That is the whole process of Krishna consciousness. To start to realize that I'm not this material body. And you can do it in a number of ways. This is the process of sadhana bhakti. To start to learn that you're not this material body. And each one of us starts in subtle ways realizing this. It's a really interesting thing, this thing to be completely attached to a material body. It's sad to see. Actually, last night when I came home, I just watched 60 Minutes for a minute, and there was this article on about an unfortunate person, two unfortunate people. One lady who had the complete understanding that she was actually a man, bodily wise. And she was convinced, and she was saying, I'm in this woman's body, but I'm a man. I can't relate to this. And she married a guy who was in the same misidentification, who was in a man's body, but said, I'm a woman. I feel I'm a woman. You know? And so this couple were just completely, confused as to what's going on. So we can understand from Bhagavad Gita, we are not these material bodies. We change our bodies all the time, just like we change our clothes. Continuously changing. But a person who is striving for self-realization is dhīra. Dhīra tatra namuyati. Dhīra is sober. We have to be incredibly sober in Krishna consciousness. We have to really analyze who we are. We have to set ourselves aside a little bit and watch ourselves. We are not that personality in the mirror in the morning. In my case, thank God. So we have to continuously think, I'm not this material body. The message to understand, this is the message to understand and realize first off. Now, all the Vedic teachings, in regards to interfaith, I deal with a lot of different Vedic groups, Sanatan Dharma groups, impersonalists and different, but all of them understand this point. You're not this material body, and we're actually striving for cosmic consciousness. They actually call it cosmic consciousness. We call it self-realization, realizing who we really are. Cosmic consciousness. And a lot of these different groups place a lot of emphasis on this. That we have to get out of this bodily conception, that we have to, see ourselves as different. And some people actually feel that. There are many people throughout history who have had this awakening, this consciousness, raising of consciousness, seeing themselves as not this material body. There's people like Walt Whitman, Isaac Newton. In art, there was William Blake. There are many, many people. In earlier days, it was, what's that guy's called? Who actually wrote about it. He did the geodesic dome. Leonardo da Vinci, another self-realized soul. Another person who realized he's not this material body. So there are many saints also in the Christian tradition, in the Muslim tradition, in the Buddhist tradition, who have understood they are not these material bodies. So we also, as devotees, have to strive for that. But that's not the most important thing. We are spirit souls inhabiting this material body on a temporary basis. Our soul, the qualities of our soul, are satchit ananda vigraha. Full knowledge, eternality and bliss. That's what we strive for. And that's what the materialist is actually striving for. They're always striving to get more knowledge. They want to live forever. They don't want to pass away. And they want to be happy all the time. But the soul's quality is satchit ananda vigraha. Now, that relates to the Lord's energies. And they're divided into three parts, as is mentioned here in the purport. The sandini, the sambit, and the ladini. So the sandini is the full manifestation of material energy. And one fourth of the material energy is this material world. of the energy, complete energy. One fourth of the Lord's energy is the material energy. Samvit is full knowledge, and Ladini is the pleasure potency of the Lord. So as part and parcels of the Supreme, which we are, we're part and parcel of the Supreme, small fragmental part, the living entity is eligible to a very minute part of this eternality, full knowledge and bliss. But it's only a small part, and you've heard the analogies, and they've been given over this whole period of time when we're doing these chapters on the elements of material creation, that the living entity is like a small drop compared to the ocean, and that is the case. But a person captured in material consciousness has limited knowledge, has not much happiness, and is constantly going closer and closer to death, finality, and then it has to happen again. When one is free from the bodily conception of life, when one is free from this identification to the body, he becomes Vaikuntha conscious. There's no more death, there's no more freedom from old age and disease, and there is a state of blissful euphoria. Blissful euphoria. And a lot of these other meditation groups and Vedic groups and Artha and Dharma groups are striving for that. But is that really the goal of a Hare Krishna devotee? It's not. It's not, and we'll explain that later. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord describes the omnipotencies by three energies. The Tri Shakti Trik. The internal energy of the Lord is that Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. The marginal energy, which is also spiritual, is never equal to the Lord. So we have the same qualities, but we're never equal to the Lord. But when you're dealing on an infinite basis, that little speck of infinity is a lot, if you analyze it. And then the external energies are the three modes of material nature. So Lord Krishna's power is variegated, and thus the same shakti or potency works in variegated ways. And Prabhupada gives the analogy of a tree. A tree has a variety of leaves, branches, roots, fruits, flowers, and so on and so forth. But the different parts make up the whole to function in nature. And he also gives the analogy of a machine. A machine is made up of iron, but you've got the cogs, the spokes, the wheels, the screws, everything coming from iron, working in a different way to function for the whole work of the machine. So it makes up the total for the functioning. Now I wanted to quote one other thing from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which when I was researching this, there's a section in the Madhya Lila, 1365, and the purport is, Krishna's power is variegated, and thus the same shakti or potency works in variegated ways. Vidhya means varieties. There is unity in variety, so that's that machine coming together to function. Thus Yoga Maya and Maha Maya are amongst the varied individual parts of the same one potency. And all of these individual potencies work in their own varied ways. The Samvit, Sandini, and Ladini potencies, Krishna's potencies for existence, his potency for knowledge, his potency for pleasure, are distinct from Yogamaya. Each is individual potency. The Ladini potency is Radharani. As Swarup Damodar Goswami explains, Radha Krishna Prana Krivitri, Ladini Shakti Asmat. The Ladini Shakti is manifested as Radharani, but Krishna and Radharani are the same, although one is potent and the other is potency. So this is a really interesting thing. And then the last part that was written here in this purport, these modes of material nature work and darkness have no real relation with the transcendental spirit soul, who exhibits his own qualities of eternality, bliss, and knowledge. The material modes have no access within the kingdom of God, in the unbound atmosphere of which the eternal living entity is meant to live. So this is the point of Krishna consciousness. Why are we Krishna in the Krishna consciousness movement? As opposed to all the other different groups. The other different groups are seeking some sort of bliss, to tap in on what is our inheritance, really. Eternality, bliss, full knowledge. But the Krishna consciousness movement is a little bit different. Krishna consciousness, our mission, our goal, Our bliss is to pass this knowledge on to somebody else. That's our bliss. That's where we come from. And if we do that, then automatically all the other potencies come. All the bliss comes. All the knowledge comes. Eternality comes. When you're preaching, tell me you're not in bliss. If you're actually enlightening somebody about Krishna consciousness, tell me that there is a higher experience than that. There's not. Tell me that the time absolutely flies when you're preaching. You could go on forever and ever and ever if you've got an interested person who's interested in spiritual subject matter. You can keep on talking. You don't need to drink. You don't need to eat. You don't need to do anything. You just want to keep preaching. And you'd be surprised where the knowledge comes from. All of a sudden you're talking to somebody about Krishna consciousness, and all of a sudden a Bhagavad Gita verse that you thought you didn't remember comes into your consciousness that's just relevant at the time. Or an example, an analogy that you heard your spiritual master give 2 or 3 years back. All of a sudden it comes back and it's pertinent at that particular time for that person in preaching. So these things happen automatically. That is the reason why we're Hare Krishna devotees. Because we want to pass this knowledge that you are not this material body. You are a spirit soul, my friend. Don't stay in this material world. It has no joy to be had here at all. You know, you're just being the playground of parasites in the modes of material nature. So our duty is to spread this. And this is what Srila Prabhupada did. Prabhupada was so compassionate. He had not a selfish bone in his body. All he wanted to do was present this philosophy, this knowledge to mankind. This was his desire. And this is what he desires of all of us. You know? If you ask, say for example, if you're having somebody over for dinner, right? We will ask that person, what would you like me to cook for you? It's not that you start making up something that the person doesn't like to eat. So similarly it is with Krishna. We ask, I want to serve Krishna. So we ask Srila Prabhupada, who knows Krishna, what can I do to serve Krishna? What does Krishna like me to do? And Prabhupada says, he wants you to perform Sankirtan. He wants you to go out there and save people. Because what happens is that we have to understand that actually the whole of humanity is just one big family. We're one big family. We're all brothers and sisters. And Krishna is our mother and father. Some are older brothers, some are younger brothers and sisters, but we're all family. And as a devotee, when you start to realize this, if the philosophy is really sinking into you, you really start to see it. All of our relatives are here. You know, how much more affection do you have for your blood relatives as opposed to your relatives that are here at the temple? You feel far stronger attachments and connection to your devotee friends, isn't it? So that we're all family and everyone. Now, if a family member is suffering, poor thing has got a rat parasite in his brain. Don't you want to help him? I can get rid of that parasite for you if you like. Don't you want to help that person? If you see somebody in your family that's got a disease and you've got a cure for that disease, wouldn't you want to give that cure, that panacea to that person? This is what Prabhupada showed us. We've got to be that compassionate. We have to give this knowledge to everyone. We have to pass that on. Not that we want bliss for ourselves. You know, in the early days we used to have people that came to the Sunday feast program and we used to call them bliss bunnies. You know, and they would get right off on the kirtan, you know, they'd be coming from some other yoga group or something, and they would be swimming in ecstasy, you know. But they had no real understanding where the real bliss came from. The real bliss came from passing on this knowledge to somebody else. So we've got to try and help. And in that way, what we're doing is we're pleasing Krishna. So this movement is an ongoing thing. Now, if we feel ourselves, I don't really feel that I would feel like helping other people, compassion, being compassionate to other people. If we don't feel that, what do we do? And Prabhupada says, you fake it. You fake it. You literally fake it. That you try and put on a smile and you help the person. Even if you don't, oh, I can't stand this guy. My dear sir, you're not this material body. You have to fake it. And that's the whole process of sadhana bhakti. You know, it's going through the motions of doing the different things and developing our consciousness, and then you actually you'll actually make a real progress. So we have to do it like that. There was another thing that I wanted to mention. There's a shloka that I'm learning at the moment from chapter 13, text 30. The translation is, one who sees that all activities are performed by the body, which is created of material nature, and sees the self doing nothing actually sees. So the body is doing all this function. This is that state of liberation, this state of cosmic consciousness, so to speak, this witnessing state of the body. And it automatically happens to a person when they're engaged in Krishna consciousness. It's not that we have to strive for that. It automatically happens. It's an amazing thing when that happens. And again, when you're preaching, you'll notice it. You'll actually sort of, your body is teaching somebody and preaching to somebody, but you're actually separate from that and watching yourself do it. It's an amazing situation. So our whole positive attitude about preaching should be encouraged over and over again, because that's the way Prabhupada wanted to do it. And that's what he wants us to do with our lives, to dedicate our lives and become Krishna conscious by serving humanity, by serving our family members. So I'll just read the purport again, the translation again. Nature exists originally as the equilibrium of the three modes of material nature, which pertain only to nature, not to the transcendental spirit soul. So these modes only pertain to the material body, not to the spirit soul. These modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, are the effective cause of creation, maintenance and destruction of this universe. So we've got to get out of this material universe and become free. And that is by serving other devotees. And see, everybody has a devotee of Krishna. Any comments or questions at all, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu. I'm sorry.
In the end of the life, we have to go to Krishna's temple. People practice fully Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Go back to Godhead.
Yeah.
So if like somebody practices Krishna consciousness and like he is not fully sincere and fully like prepared in the end of the life, then go back to Godhead. But he takes work in this material world.
Yeah.
So means he has to take in this material world again.
Yeah.
So he like on what and what we often one basis we can say that he will change the body.
Krishna explains that if you haven't completed your full self-realization in this lifetime, then you can either go to the planets of the demigods for a period of time, for actually a long period of time, or you'll take birth in the family of either devotees or a very rich person. So, and then you will continue on in your devotional service from there, you know, and you'll get every opportunity. And actually, I heard it described recently that actually Krishna consciousness, the Krishna conscious bank account, whatever you've put in into this lifetime, Krishna adds a bit of interest on that as well. So the next time you come back again, you'll have a little bit more impetus to follow more, more diligently. But we should strive as best we can to end it in this lifetime. It is possible. It's not that it's beyond us. You know, some people say, oh, wow, you know. But Prabhupada said, you can go back home in this very lifetime. Just give this lifetime, he said. Just do this one lifetime. Just surrender it to me. Follow the principles. Just this lifetime. It's not that hard. This is actually the easiest age to actually free yourself from this material affliction, this material conditioning. It's not that hard. And you'll see the results will come. The results will be there. You will experience those results yourself. Any other comments? Yes, Prabhu?
I just want to make sure. Mahamantra is stronger than
the first sight. The what? Say again?
Is Mahamantra stronger than the first sight?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, well, you do. You do. That's the beauty of being a Hare Krishna devotee. Just feel it prasadam. Here, my little parasites. I mean, it's not just one. I mean, the whole body is all cellular structure. There's all. If you knew what was going inside your body, you'd be going, you know. But by having prasadam and by hearing the holy name, that little rat parasite that you may have in there or other parasites, they're all becoming Krishna conscious too. You're feeding them prasadam. After 7 years, it's an interesting thing. Your body, every cell in your body changes every 7 years. So after 7 years, your whole body is a walking, talking lump of prasadam. It's prasad, the whole body. So yeah, you're absolutely helping all the living entities in your body by taking Krishna prasadam and hearing the holy name. Yes, Prabhu?
What does that say? The parasite we're talking is mostly wrong home. Wrong home, we go
is it?
Care to rat and humanity.
Yeah.
Wrong home.
Uh huh. Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, there's all these different worms and stuff that are living in there. It's just amazing. Yes, Prabhu?
No, me.
Yeah, Prabhu? You stretching?
No.
I got a question? Okay. Yeah, Rupa Goswami also says that in the Nectar of Instruction about sadhana bhakti, that you can perform your sadhana bhakti to perfection and still not achieve God consciousness. So we and the criteria that's mentioned, that you have to add to that and you have to actually enforce, is the love aspect. You know, to just perform our duties. You know, oh, rise, I'm there every morning, just see, I'm here at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm chanting so nicely, you know, I'm chanting and I'm performing all my activities and I'm the best in Sankirtan and I jump the highest and I do all these sort of things. And look at me, it's like, you know, look at me. That's, I'm competing with somebody else, I'm better than you, I can do this better. That's not Krishna consciousness. And actually we have to, then if we actually have that pointed out to us, or we become aware of it ourselves, that's an aspect of my life, you know, because sometimes you get to the stage in your Krishna consciousness, well, I'm doing everything, I'm following the principles, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm here at Mangalarti, I'm doing everything, I'm doing my service, where's the bliss? You know, the bliss comes from extending yourself to loving Krishna a little bit more. It is all a point of love. The whole of Krishna consciousness is a point of love. All sadhana bhakti, all these other things, all the chanting, the coming early in the morning and everything, dressing the deities and everything, are solely to develop our love for Krishna and our love for Guru and our love for one another. So if you're feeling that, or if it's been pointed out to you, then you have to increase the love volume. And you have to physically do that. You have to start, okay, how can I love Krishna more? Read about his pastimes. Pray to Lord Krishna. Meditate on Lord Krishna when you're doing the deity worship. See him as a personality. See him as real. Not just an object for your sadhana bhakti. Yes, I'm worshipping him. Pouring the thing in. And all that kind of stuff. Actually see him. I'm so fortunate. I actually get to touch Krishna's body, Lord Chaitanya's body. You know? He's there. He's like the gopis, you know? He's there for all of us. But we have to really meditate on that. And if you don't feel it, then pray to Krishna. I want to love you more. How can I love you more? And then Krishna will say, well, you love me by loving my sons and daughters, your God brothers and sisters. How can I do that? I'll do things for you. I'll work with you. What can I do for you, Prabhu? How can I help you? Being humble and develop a love for one another. You know? And then you'll start to experience real bliss. And that's the key. It's really, really important. This love potency, you know, developing a love for Guru, understanding, you know, what the Guru has actually given you, the opportunity you have. You know, be analytical when you walk out this door and you're walking down the street in Swanson Street and say, you know, all these people are rat parasite infested and I'm free. My spiritual master has liberated me. Prabhupada has liberated me. I just have to turn my love potency on. Learn to love Krishna. Because that's it. It's only by bhakti that we can get home. Only by how much we love Krishna, how much we're infatuated by Krishna. Does that make sense, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu.
You want to tell us something more, even on Prabhu, and the other one, is a very big deal.
Yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is my hero. You know, he's a big man, and he's a grihastha, and he preached Krishna consciousness, and he was just an incredibly vital personality. You know, we have heroes in our Krishna consciousness, and we look up to people, and I really, when I first heard about Bhaktivinoda Thakur and even the Leela that he went through, you know, that he went to different impersonalist groups and he was involved with Christian groups and Mayavad groups, but then in the end he became a devotee. So I take a lot of solace from that. You know, and Gadadhar Pandit, well, he's an amazing personality, an expansion of Lord Chaitanya himself. Isn't it, Gadadhar Pandit is an expansion of Radharani?
Yeah.
Yeah. So his disappearance, though, he passed away or disappeared from this earth very shortly after Lord Chaitanya passed away, is that correct?
42 years.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's important. And then the Gundicha Marjana is also really important. You know, cleansing our heart, cleaning the temple of our heart. And that's another point, that cleaning. That directly working on being able to love one another and love Krishna is that cleansing process that will clean out all the anattas, all the selfish desires and all the, you know, unwanted things. That will kick it out. Is that alright, Prabhu? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love his prayers. You know, for an interfaith person, he's so fantastic.
He did 100 books.
Yeah.
100 in his life. Sleep 23 hours.
Huh?
He was sleeping 23 hours.
Yeah, amazing. Well, that's a long way yet. Any other questions at all, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu.
I'm looking at how Prabhu shows so much compassion because he saw
how do you practice patience? After 31 years, I'm still thinking, God, when's it going to happen? You know? But it does. It happens in a subtle way. It's really interesting. It's not something, you know, because we're in this material world, we expect things to happen like now, you know. Everything is instant. You know, I want instant this and instant that. So Krishna consciousness doesn't work that way. We're contaminated for many, many lifetimes. And patience is a virtue. We really have to work at that. But all of a sudden, when you're preaching, when you're actually teaching people, when you're actually extending yourself to actually go out and preach this message, you start to realize, actually, boy, I'm making some advancement, you know? And you'll feel it. And the other thing is that you ask your God brothers and sisters, how do you think I'm going? You know? What do you see I should improve? This is that whole thing of revealing one's mind and conversing with one another, you know. And you ask, do you think I'm okay? Is it going okay? Yeah, no, you're going good. Oh, good, okay. Because sometimes you're not even aware of how much you've progressed from when you walked into the door here for the first time, you know. You don't know how much you've changed. But your God brothers and sisters may see that, you know, and they may say, oh, God, you know, you know the way you led that kirtan the other day, or I heard you preaching to that lady, that was fantastic. We've got to encourage one another, you know. We've got to encourage one another. And so you either ask, that's that whole idea of sharing your mind to other people, you know, opening up, and then that will enthuse you. But yeah, you have to be patient, but it does come, and when it does come, it's absolutely worth waiting for. You know, one day you'll be sitting there and you're just chanting Hare Krishna, and you finally make an endeavour to actually chant correctly, and you're really focusing on the Maha Mantra, and all of a sudden you actually feel Krishna's presence. You actually feel Krishna's presence. And then you know it's real. This is actually fair dinkum. You know? And then Krishna's gone. You go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, you're trying to get him back. Come on, come back. But it's enough. And that keeps you going. It's real. It is absolutely real. And then you absolutely have no more doubts. Maybe little doubts here and there, but you've had that experience. You know? And some people get it very early and some people get it later. Some people are waiting 31 years. But when it comes, it's like so real and so close and so intimate that Krishna is there just for you, that you'll never ever want to deviate from that. And that's going to come. Does that make sense? It's really real. Thanks very much. Oh, yes, Prabhu?
This is another comment. I'm reading when I'm doing Facebook. And we're having a little debate about the golden age having substance.
Absolutely. When you what? I'm sorry, I missed that last bit. When you admin? No. Your administration boss is Krishna. He wants you to do the books just perfectly and do it with love. Really? You have to make a conscious effort to do it with love. And do the best books in the mode of pure goodness, you know? No. If that's been assigned to you, if that's the service that's been assigned to you through Guru, through the Parampara, take it and love it. Really, really love it. But the golden age, I mean, you know, this is a whole other thing, you know, when you're studying neuroscience and that sort of thing, the point of being positive is so important. We can dwell on the negative sides of the material world, and there's heaps. But if you dwell on the negative, we're not going to make progress. We have to dwell on the positive. And Lord Chaitanya said he was the inculcator of the new Satya Yuga. There is a golden age coming where everybody, or the majority of the personalities on this planet, will be enlightened, will actually feel Krishna's presence, will be God conscious. And we are the starters of that. We are the ones that are the pioneers that are setting this up. In years and years to come, they will be eulogizing all of us for taking the effort to change this rotten material world and form 10,000 years of Satya Yuga by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. You know? They'll be glorifying us for doing this, for making this endeavor to break loose from this rotten material entanglement, you know. But we have to make the effort by preaching and really have this in your mind that I'm going to help Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'm going to help Bhaktisiddhanta. How positive was Bhaktivinoda Thakur? He saw it all happening. Krishna gave him the vision. Oh, there's going to be a beautiful city in Mayapur. Everyone from all different nations will come. When we had the first kirtan party there, you know, I mean, honestly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur must have been in ecstasy. Prabhupada was in ecstasy that it's actually manifesting. When you look on Facebook or on the internet now, all the ISKCON sites that are everywhere over this world, it's just amazing. It's happening. You know? It's happening. What Bhaktivinoda Thakur envisaged is actually happening. What Prabhupada envisaged, that when he said that my books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years and there'll be a Satya Yuga, you know, you don't doubt him. It's going to happen. So if that's a fact, then be positive about it and really push forward. Because it's a wonderful thing. And we're the pioneers of this. We've been chosen to head this up. And in each and every way, in whatever our service, whether it is in administration or whether it's in prasadam distribution or in book distribution or paraphernalia, interfaith, whatever, we have our own little area which we can make inroads into this material world and make this golden age come about. If we do that service with love and devotion and really see that my little bit of service is so important and so vital to this mission accomplished, and take the credit, you know, like Arjuna, it's already happened, it's happening, just like Krishna said to Arjuna, well, this battle is going to happen whether you're part of it or not. You can take the kudos and fight and be known as a great warrior, or you can back off, but whatever the case, it's happening. Similarly, this age of enlightenment, this golden age, is coming. We can be part of it, or we can say, just sit on the sidelines and watch. I prefer to get in there and have a good fight. That's fun. Preaching is good fun. You know, let's shake it up in every way that we can, you know. In every way we can. Now have a good bhajan band and blow people out of the water when we have a good bhajan, you know. Wow, those Hare Krishnas are really good. You know, when somebody comes to do the auditing of the books and they see Ayn Davies' bookkeeping and how wonderful that is, you know. Wow, this lady is really together, you know. She's so Krishna conscious. In every way, you know. And when we have urban yoga, you know, that people come up there. And I have that now with people that I talk to. And they go to urban yoga. Boy, that was so enlivening. That was so enthusing. I love it. You know? You know you're pleasing your spiritual master. And you know you're putting that wedge into the material world. And starting to structure this golden age which is about to come. We have to be clear on that. We're part of it. Don't become mundane about our devotional service. Final one. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, what you're saying, very true. In India, we sing a song, Karti Yogun, in India, Naam Mirava. Everything is done by Krishna.
Yeah.
We are getting in India.
Yeah.
And Krishna also said in Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Esham Satyutanam Natansikam Pritam, Dharam Vyogam, Yen Kam Sundi. So I am the lead. So you just be instrument.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And it's fun. It's so much fun, you know. Prabhupada said, you know, Krishna consciousness is a joy at every moment. It's just fun all the time. I mean, really, we have a lot of fun. Don't we? Yeah, don't we? Yay! Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki!
Yeah.